Me, is it okay?
Yes, I can hear. Can you hear me fine?
I'm fine, excellent. We only have like 8 questions. It's gonna be brief. I appreciate your time.
Yes.
Shall I start?
Sure.
Could we start with a very cliche question? How would you define leadership? Because there are many definitions and different approaches from thinkers around the world.
I define leadership as an influence process. Anytime you are attempting to influence the thinking, beliefs, or behavior of someone else, you're engaging in leadership. I feel, given that definition, that there are organizational leadership roles that people have, but there are also life role leaderships, as a husband or wife, as a father or mother, as a friend, as a citizen, and therefore everyone's a leader. When you get to organizational leadership, now you start to, you know, add, influence process where you're trying to accomplish organizational goals. But generally, I think it's just an influence process when you're trying to influence somebody's thinking, beliefs, or behavior.
May I ask, you are mostly known for your work training managers and educating the business world. Do you think that the same principles about leadership apply also to politics? And are the same principles applied to different sectors of activity?
Good. And as I watch different politicians, I don't think they. I think they could use some help. Yes, the leadership principles apply to any organization, whether you're talking about education, government, business, hospitals, any organization, the principles are the same.
And do you think it is a charisma, a talent for some people? Can it be taught?
Yes, people ask that question all the time, because is leadership, are you born or can you be taught? And some people are natural leaders. I don't think there's any doubt about it. I have a good friend who, when I went to his wedding, all of his buddies said ever since he was 5 years old, everybody would go to his house and say, well, what are we going to do today, And he just developed that, and today he's the chairman of the board of Cornell University and gave the university $20 million, and so he was a natural leader, but we certainly think that leadership can be taught, and we're involved in several master's degree programs. One is an executive MBA program at Grand Canyon University in Phoenix, and the other one is a Master of Science in Executive Leadership at the University of San Diego. And as I look at most of the MBA programs around the country, you would think that they didn't think it could be taught because they don't do much about leadership. But we think it can be taught. In fact, we think leadership is a journey that has four stops on it. The first one is the whole area of personal leadership, which is learning about yourself, about your own disposition, your own values, your own intentions. Why are you leading? And all of it's a self, a kind of a self-reflection. And most people don't go through that. They just get kind of tossed into a leadership position. And once you know something about yourself, then you're ready to for one-on-one leadership. And the goal there is to build trust. And that's where we begin to teach people about situational leadership and using different leadership styles for different people on different goals that they're trying to accomplish. In the personal or self-leadership area, the main goal is perspective. One-on-one is building trust. Then the next step in your leadership education is team leadership. Because that's more complicated than leading people one-on-one, and the organizational leadership, and organizational leadership is more complicated than team leadership, because now you're supervising and leading a number of teams and departments, and we really feel strongly that leaders can be taught.
I want to ask a question about, and bearing in mind your background, your academic background in humanities, you have studied government and sociology and education leadership. Has your academic background affected the work you do today with managers?
Well, I got very interested in the social and behavioral sciences, and that's how I started off in philosophy and government, and then went to sociology and counseling, and then from there got interested in leadership, and so it has been a tremendous influence on my thinking. I think of myself as an applied behavioral scientist, and that my goal with leaders is to help them become applied behavioral scientists, so that they can see the ramifications of their decisions it's been very important in my background.
Studying your books, you definitely define leadership styles and management styles. How about employees? How about people who want to be led? Do you categorize them as well?
Yes, we I mentioned about starting off with personal leadership or self-leadership. We use situational leadership with people who aren't supervising any people, because what we want them to do is to be able to analyze their own development level on goals that they have, and then begin to partner with their manager or their supervisor, so that they can get the amount of direction and support that they need. We teach them probably the most powerful statement that they can learn is "I need." You know, so if you and I were working together and you were my boss, and you asked me to take this particular financial area and supervise this, if I felt that I didn't have the complete understanding of it and was enthusiastic about the role, I would say, you know, I really need some direction here. I need some training here. Is there anyone that I can work closely with here? And another part of my job, it might be in the development of people, and I might feel that I'm well qualified there, and I could say to you, I don't really need any help there. If I do, I'll give you a call. I think you can use a delegating leadership style. And what that does is that really begins to create a partnership relationship, so that followers aren't just saying, well, my boss doesn't do this and my boss doesn't do that. And, well, if your boss isn't doing it, then go to your boss and ask for what you need, because you're responsible for the condition that you're in, and so it makes it a much more interesting thing. We believe when you combine situational self-leadership and situational leadership for one-on-one, what you do is you increase the quality of the conversations that leaders and managers have with their people, and permits them to really be their performance partner and coach.
Talking about leadership, where do ethics fit into the picture? Do you take into consideration any ethical dimensions of leadership, or is it just technical issues of how to lead?
No, I wrote a book with Norman Vincent Peale called The Power of Ethical Management. Integrity pays. You don't have to cheat to win. And then I wrote another book with Michael O'Connor called Managing by Values. And so those are very important parts, because I think as a leader, before you begin to lead, you need to help develop a compelling vision for your people. And a compelling vision tells people who you are, what business you're in, where you're going, what your larger picture of the future is, and what will guide your journey, which are your values. And so it's in the values area that where ethics comes up. So, for example, in our company, the number one value we have is ethical. Number two is relationships with our people, our customers, our suppliers, our community. Our number three value is success, running a profitable, well-run organization. And our number four value is learning, being a learning organization. And therefore, these are rank ordered so that being ethical is all about doing the right thing. And we use an ethics check. And when we train managers, we teach them that. Every time they make a decision, there's three questions they all should ask themselves. The first one is it legal? And that includes company policies as well as, regular, governmental laws. The second question is a fairness question. If I do this, is it fair to all involved? And then finally, the last question is a self-esteem question. If you do this, would you like it published in the local newspaper? Would you like your family to know? And we feel in our country, with the scandals around Enron and Tyco and WorldCom and all, if their leaders had an ethics check, they would have thought through what they had done, particularly the last one. Would they like it published in the local newspaper? Would they like people to know? So we think that being ethical is a major part of leadership, and it's a very important part of both of the master's degree programs that we have, both at Grand Canyon University and University of San Diego.
You became famous, world famous, with your book Manager Within a Minute. It was a bestseller. May I ask, what was your rationale when you first started to write that book? What was your objective?
Well, that's an interesting story because I met Spencer Johnson at a cocktail party in 1980. My wife met him first, and Spencer wrote children's books. He wrote a wonderful series called Value Tales for Kids.
Mm-hmm.
The Value of Believing in Yourself, the story of Louis Pasteur, the Value of Determination, the story of Helen Keller, wonderful. And my wife brought him over and said, you two should write a children's book for managers.
Interesting.
They won't read anything else. And the goal of the one-minute manager, if you've read it, it's a kid's book for big people. It's a parable. And Spencer was working on a concept called the one-minute scolding on how to discipline kids. And I invited him to a seminar I was doing, and he came up at the end and laughed and said, let's forget about parenting. Let's go for the one-minute manager. But we knew we wanted to be simple if it was a kid's book, so we had the three secrets. One-minute goal setting. All good performance starts with clear goals. Once people are clear on goals, we suggested you wander around and see if you can catch them doing something right and give them a one-minute praising. And if people don't do what they're supposed to do, you either redirect them if they're a learner and go back to goal setting, or if they know better, you give them a one-minute reprimand, which tells them what they did wrong, how you feel about that, but you always end with a reaffirmation. The reason you're upset with them is that they're better than that. They're one of your best people. So if you can't reaffirm them, then you should be giving them redirection. So that really was the whole motivation, is to write a very simple but powerful book that would help people understand the basics of management. I believe in Pareto's law, the 80-20 rule, that 80% of what you want from your people in an organization will come from 20% of your activities. And so that's why we had three secrets.
A last question. You know, it's the Greek audience here, especially the corporate audience, are really eager to your arrival in Athens. What would be the benefits of attending? What should they expect to listen from you while in Athens?
Well, I think the big benefit is that they will get a clear understanding of the impact of their behavior on other people, whether those people are working for them, whether they're interacting with their boss, whether they're interacting with peers, or how are they operating at home. I think they'll get a whole different belief system around how they should behave, and they'll learn something about their own leadership point of view, their beliefs about leading and motivating people, both in their personal life as well as in their work life. And so I've had the good fortune of traveling all over the world and have found that the concepts that I teach apply in every setting, because they're based on some universal truths. Let me ask you something.
Yes, please.
In Greece, where are the people in terms of their own spiritual development? Is their faith an important part of their lives?
It is actually, but I would say it's more because of tradition. I'm not sure the majority practices much. Like most people won't go every week to the church. Yet 98% of the population declare themselves as Christian Orthodox.
98% are Christian Orthodox?
Yes, 97.
Yes.
But Orthodox does not necessarily mean fanatic. I mean, in English language, Orthodox means quite straight, quite conservative.
Yes, no, our head of travel is Serbian.
Yes.
She's Greek Orthodox.
Exactly, similar, yes.
Yes, and one of the things that I think they'll be interested in, because I tie that into situational leadership too, is the whole concept of servant leadership.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people think when you talk about servant leadership, that's about the inmates running the prison, or about pleasing everyone, or some kind of religious movement. But they don't understand there's really two parts of leadership. That's why I think leadership can be taught. The first is the vision and direction part of leadership, which is leadership is about going somewhere, and people need to know, you know, what business you're in, you know, what your picture of the future is, what are your values, and what the goals are. And the responsibility for that rests with the hierarchy. It doesn't mean you don't involve other people, but it's their responsibility. And that's the leadership part of servant leadership. The second part of servant leadership is implementation, which is, okay, now how do we live according to the vision and values, and how do we accomplish the goals? And that's when you philosophically turn the pyramid upside down, and now the leader is basically working for their people. When Jesus washed the feet of the disciples, he was transitioning from vision and direction to implementation. Another way to look at that, and that's the servant part of servant leadership. Another way to look at those two is the first part, the leadership part of servant leadership, is strategic leadership, and the implementation part is operational leadership. And I'll be able to share with them a significant study we've done on the impact of those two forms of leadership on organizational vitality and success, and how it impacts employee passion and customer devotion. So it's a really interesting thing. So situational leadership is a servant leadership model that is an implementation model, because without clear goals, situational leadership doesn't work. So you first have to have vision and direction. And then once that sits there, is if you want to help your people accomplish goals, then you have to philosophically turn the pyramid upside down and work for them. And that's when you're giving them different leadership styles for different levels of development.
Well, that's excellent. I think Especially it is well known that most Greeks are not always doing very well with team working. I think they would find your lecture very interesting.
Yes, I'll take them through that journey from self to one-on-one to team and to organizational so they can see the difference. And they'll also see how situational leadership applies and all. How much time are we going to have in my time with them?
To be honest, I'm not sure because I'm not the organizer. I'm just from a newspaper.
Vicky, do you know?
Yeah, I know. It's typical to the things that you did with global leaders. We're on from like about 9 to 4. We have a few breaks and lunch.
Oh, good. Well, that's great. Well, I'll have plenty of time.
You'll have
to really give them some really important things. And one thing that you might be interested as you write a story is if
yes.
Said, Ken, what is the key learning that I want these people to understand about leadership is that leadership is not about them. And by that I mean that leadership is really about the vision, values, and goals, and about their people. And that the biggest problem to effective leadership is the human ego, where people start to think that leadership's all about them, and all the power and recognition and money and all flows up the hierarchy, and they could care less about everybody else. In the long run, that's not going to be effective leadership.
Excellent. Dr. Blanchard, thank you very much. I look forward to meet you in person.
Well, good. Will you be there?
Yes, of course.
Well, please come and introduce yourself. And thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you. Thank you very much indeed.
Take care.
I look forward. Thank you, Vicky.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Vicky, you want to stay on a second?
Yeah, do you have a couple seconds?
Yeah, I do.
Good.